The full team here today, do we not? What an honor it is to have the four of you here today. Thank you for taking the time out there early on the West Coast. We appreciate you joining us. Can you take just a few moments to introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name is Garrett Goen. I'm the coordinator of state and federal programs here in Val Verde. I oversee all the categorical funding for the district.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Michael McCormick, superintendent of the Val Verde Unified School District, and so pleased to be joining you, Tom. Thanks a bunch for the opportunity.
And I'm Phil Harding. I'm the technology integration specialist. I also am a proud SETPA CTO member, and I deal with everything A to Z with EdTech.
And my name is Greg McWhorter, also technology integration specialist, and I'm lucky to work with these gentlemen.
Awesome. It is a pleasure to have you guys today. You have been on the map and doing great things. Tell us a little bit about your path towards becoming a future-ready district. What's it look like for you?
You know, it started, I want to say several years ago, we actually kind of got the call to action to sign up and sign the pledge. And, you know, in thinking about the pledge at the time, the kind of the plan or the framework was very much in alignment with a lot of the things that we had been thinking about in Val Verde. We kind of had a homegrown initiative called Powering Up Passion and Purpose. And it was really looking at ways that, yes, we were going to bring devices on to the system for students and teachers, but we never really wanted to lose sight of the fact that it was always going to be about teaching and learning. And when I first was introduced to the Future Ready framework, I thought, man, this is very much in alignment with the thinking that we'd kind of had. But I also, it provided, you know, the gears and kind of a way for us to think about different segments of our planning process and what that was going to mean for us. Because we knew that it wasn't going to be simply about the device. If we were going to truly move the system forward, it was going to have to be rooted in teaching and learning and getting the community involved and making sure that the teachers were engaged early on in the planning process and looking what was going to be our sustainability and some of the long-term replacement costs of the devices and so how we were going to build in those systems. So there was a lot to look at, and I think the spark for us was this was very much in alignment with thinking. So we were excited to join and get on this path.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And, you know, one of the things that you said multiple times is really the heart of Future Ready. This is about high-quality teaching and learning. This is about experiences for all kids. This is about leveraging technology. Sometimes we'll get a question or a little bit of pushback about, you know, is this about technology? And technology is certainly an important aspect of what we'll talk about today and some of the things that you're doing. But it's easy to jump on a technology bandwagon. It's low-level learning. And then we lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. So one of the things that I love hearing from your vision is that focus on high-quality teaching and learning. And you said that multiple times. Now, one of the reasons we really wanted to highlight you all today, you started sharing out on social media this plan you've called Val Verde's framework, this plan that you've developed moving forward. Can you tell us about the evolution of the plan that you've created and even some challenges you faced creating your Val Verde framework?
Well, first, Tom, when Mike called me into his office and I said, hey, what about this Future Ready thing? And we started talking about it, and then he decided that, yeah, we need to take the pledge. A lot of people, I think, take the pledge, and then they don't think of what's going to happen in the machine afterwards, after we make the pledge. Are we going to really make an impact on our community? And I think with the Future Ready board dashboard and how it's set up, that school districts should follow it to the guidelines to a T, really. Because one of the things we had to do was do a self-assessment, first of all. After you take the pledge, you need to do that self-assessment. So when you do the self-assessment, you got to be honest with yourself. Are we really doing what we think we're doing? And then you've got to bring in all your stakeholders. You've got to involve your technology department. You've got to involve your fiscal guy. You've got to bring everybody as a team in and do a true evaluation of where you're at. Because how can you write a roadmap if you don't know where you're at, where you're going to start?
I'd like to add that I think we were kind of lucky, too, because with our top-down leadership from Mike McCormick here and his vision, we didn't face maybe some of the challenges others might have. We had it kind of lucky because his vision aligned right with us and with what we were feeling, so we were able to get in there and start doing that self-assessment right away and working together as a team. And probably my biggest contribution to this was just being Phil's biggest cheerleader and helping him to get this done, because I kept telling him, Phil, we got to do this, got to work on it. And Phil had the vision of how to put it together, and I just kind of helped him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We used some tools along the way. You know, we had this thing tucked into the Google Docs, and so we had a lot of people working on it. But, you know, I think in a lot of good plans, there's that one person who's really, you know, trying to drag the plan across the finish line, so to speak. And I think that was really, you know, Phil in his role of kind of being that lead writer, the person that was gathering all the input. So if you look at the plan, I think there is that common voice that runs through the plan, and that's because everything was kind of filtered, you know, to Phil, and then he was that person who was the final author. After all the input was given.
And you know what, Tom, what I found when I went to San Bruno County recently to kind of give a discussion talk on future-ready plan writing and how should you do it, one of the things that I shared was it's easy to get in the gears and get caught. And I know I got stuck. And I had my cheerleader over here going, hey, come on, Phil, I know you could get this across the finish line. But you know what really unlocked it was one day I walked into Garrick Owen's office. And we were having this discussion, and he runs our LCAP, and he'll explain LCAP to the national audience here in a little bit. But what happened was Gary and I were having kind of a side conversation about, hey, what if we, you know, step back a moment and look at this as if we meld the LCAP with the technology, with our overall vision that Mike has for where we're taking our students and our teachers. And you know what? It seemed like it unlocked all the gears at once. I got on a roll. And one of the things I think is important for a district is you do have that one point person that goes around and checks on all your teammates. Hey, did you get your fiscal gear done yet? Because we're going to share that in 2 weeks. Hey, is the community partnership gear done? You know, you have to make sure somebody quarterbacks it. Right, Greg?
It's a collaborative effort, definitely, to get the Future Ready plan done. But you really got to have that super motivator that can kind of bring everyone along and say, come on, guys, we got to do it for the team.
Yeah, and you know what, Tom, I also found out you've got to make sure you have a diverse team because it helps move the gears along a lot better, because you may be looking at it the way you look at things. Like, I tend to look at things from an IT perspective a lot of times, or a fiscal perspective, because I've always been the technology plan writer in the district or a grant writer. And so, you know, it helps to have that person that is your community person say, hey, Phil, did you guys think about putting this, you know, in? And let's see what the parents think, and we'll talk more about collecting data in a little bit.
Yeah, I think that maybe just a kind of a final thought to land the plane on this one here is that you really do want that diversity of thought. You want the ideas to abrade against one another, and I think that makes for a richer plan as people are sharing their individual unique perspectives, because we all come at this work separately. And so I think you really do wind up with a superior product when you do have diversity of thought going into the plan. People are looking at it from multiple perspectives.
Yeah, very well said, gentlemen. And it's interesting. I've had the opportunity to work alongside probably about 10 districts in developing that plan and using for our national audience, if you're not familiar with the tool they're discussing, it's the Future Ready Dashboard, available at dashboard.futurereadyschools.org. And again, it's totally free. But what's interesting, having done this with about 10 districts, is that diversity in thought, what you're talking about, I completely agree with. Having the voices of teachers as part of the mix, as well as folks like you all at district office. You know, I can't tell you the number of times you'll hear a superintendent respond. I'm going to pick on superintendents for a moment. You'll hear a superintendent say, you know, oh, yeah, we've got that together. We did in-service day on that. We're doing that. And then a principal jumps in. Well, yeah, we're doing that a bit, but we've got some needs. And then you'll hear the teacher on the other side of the room be like, I have no idea what that is. We don't do that at all. That diversity, and that's not being negative towards a teacher. Please don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is the teacher's being real, being like, we're not doing any of that. Like, what are you guys talking about?
Right,
And that diversity voices, and that teacher voice especially, or that community voice especially, as part of that process is so vital. If it's just a handful of us in district office with quite often very similar lens, losing sight of building level leadership, those teaching in our classrooms every day, we can easily be misguided in our plan. And so your note of having different lens is so vital. And that's something we outline in a five-step planning process. So for those that are checking out, check out the five-step plan. That first step is developing a diverse team, as you all are talking about. So I also understand it's part of this great portrait of a graduate, a graphic that goes with it. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, over the years been talking, and we had this idea of powering up passion and purpose, and the vehicle that I thought was going to drive that initiative was really a focus on the four C's. And we'd done a lot of work with Partnership for 21st Century Learning and studied that framework of creativity, communication, collaboration, and critical thinking. And then I was kind of feeling like we needed that North Star. You know, like many other states, California has the new California State Standards and everything that the standards call for. But I kind of felt like we needed, I can't think of a better way to say it right now, but a higher purpose. And for us, the higher purpose, I think, really developed around these four C's. So we have those in our portrait of a graduate, plus flexibility. And you know, we'd also heard about what the business community, not only our local business community, but certainly our national business community, was calling for a skill set. And one of the things that I like to share just for context is I think a lot about the year 2035. And I think about the year 2035 because this year's kindergartners in our school district, that's when they will be graduating from college and moving into the workforce. And while we can't always predict, you know, one time I was having a conversation with Steve Wozniak, and he said, you know, one of the kind of limiting factors of the human condition is you can only see so far into the future. And so we don't exactly know what the future jobs look like. We know that there's a reduction, you know, potentially in certain jobs and certain markets. But I think the idea is that if we focus on the four C's, that's a transferable skill set. So it's preparing students for jobs that potentially haven't been created, but if they have those skills and they're flexible and adaptable, we think that that's something that's important. And so we've kind of developed this portrait of a graduate. We certainly didn't do it alone. We've got a great partner that helped us with that work. In fact, if you go to portraitofagraduate.org, it'll take you to a website, and there's some great tools there that are all free that can help communities. And it really is a galvanizing event in the same way that the Future Ready framework has helped us. This concept of the portrait of a graduate, we had teachers involved, community members involved, administrators involved, and so we had thousands of people fill out surveys, attend meetings, and really kind of settled on, hey, these are the five things that we all want our students to graduate with. Obviously, they have to be able to read, write, and compute. We're not taking anything away from that. But this idea of this transferable skill set, I think, is something that will hopefully take our students to a brighter future.
You know, many times when we see things like that, the portrait of a graduate, it's also where we show the value in some of the soft skills and some of those types of things that our kids need that may not be measured as those untestables per se, but are so important, probably the most important aspects of success moving forward. So kudos for you all with that, developing that. What I personally love about them is, number one, that involvement of all the lenses and that are working towards it. But when we talk about leadership, you're ready, one of the first aspects, actually every way we start one of our institutes or one of our workshops, is the notion of vision. And you're helping to give that common vision about the kid to whole aspect of the community. And it shows it and helps different aspects to show where they fit, different people, where they fit in that process of educating that child, that kindergarten teacher helping to see he or she may fit in that graduate version. So kudos to you for that. And thanks for sharing that. that great website with. So with that, Mike, one of the things you just noticed is community. So we all know this type of thing doesn't happen without the community that we serve. So tell us about the community outreach and additional community collaboration efforts with the framework.
Well, with the community outreach, we've been very lucky because we have a great vision for reaching our community from our superintendent through all of our administrators and our leadership. A lot of us have lived in the area. We've worked in the area. We know the community very well. But more than that, we've got some fantastic people that are doing a lot to reach our community. So with working with the Future Ready Dashboard, we were able to leverage a lot of the parent groups that we've already developed over the years. We have a fantastic EL director named Carla Della Torre, Dr. Carla Della Torre, and she has helped the district to create this wonderful family engagement center where they bring in the ELAC parents, they work with the African American Success Academy. They have all these parent groups that they bring in that we can leverage when we need to and get information from. So we have some major events that we put on where we specifically target the parents of our students, and we bring in upwards of 1,000 or more parents in some of these events. So when we need to work on the Future Ready Dashboard and we wanted to get their input, we were able to use our parents to gain data from, especially in conjunction with something else we have called Bright Bites, which helps us to get a lot of data quickly, and we can take their responses, and we were able to see what their needs were and what their desires were for our district and put that right into our plan.
Yeah, one of the things I continue to hear from you guys is the importance of community. And as we think through those different pieces, it's so easy as district leaders or school leaders to start running with things. You know, we buzzword bingo the heck out of everything in education.
Right.
And it's so easy to leave our community behind in that regard. And so kudos to you guys to making sure they're not just a nice little side aspect to have as part of it, but really a vital part of what you're doing. And sometimes I think we can lose sight of that, why we do what we do, and we are there to serve them. So not having them a vital part of the process is really a disservice on them.
Absolutely.
So I do want to remind our viewers that today's hashtag is Future Ready. Feel free to ask a question on Twitter. Try and get to some of those there as well. You know, as a former IT director myself, I've seen firsthand how IT departments can be either a massive roadblock change or an incredible accelerant for change. So how did the IT department in Valverde adapted to meet the needs of technologies for today's teachers to support them in teaching learning?
Well, Tom, first of all, I want to give a shout out to my IT director, Matt Penner. Matt and I both together went through the SETPA CTO program at the same time. And SETPA usually only allows you to have one candidate to go through, but because they knew some people I knew kind of thing, they let us both go through. And Matt and I together developed a vision of an IT department that you're going to love. Imagine that as a school district. You really want to love your IT department. And that doesn't mean it happens overnight, but we had an end in mind. We talked at ISTE and at CUE both about why an IT department has to take a very different point of view. You can't be stuck in the closet anymore. You've got to be out in the classroom figuring out, how are we going to equip all these classrooms with Wi-Fi? How are we going to support all those devices? And when the students start taking them home in a one-to-one like we have, how do we sustain sustainability, right? And we have to think of, where's the floor at in the IT department? Well, we do a triple layer attack. And one of the things we do that's unheard of in a lot of school districts, believe it or not, we actually have a helpline where you can call our helpline at as early as 7 o'clock in the morning and actually get a live IT person that can help you. That is definitely unheard of. When I throw that out in meetings and so on in county and state level, people are going, really, you have a help desk?
Yeah, I assume we're not going to throw that up nationally right now, right?
Right. And not only help desk, but you know, the other thing too about it is we layered the support even further. Now it's been about 17 years ago. I had some leftover grant money, and I decided to start a program where we would do what we called then the teacher techs. Now they've become our technology integration experts. At each site, depending on the LCAP, when Garrick talks about it, we have like two or three skilled teachers that have, you know, good tech skills and good people skills that they can help their fellow teachers with that quick help, that maybe the help desk is jammed at the moment and they can't get to it. Maybe the IT technician hasn't got out there. And maybe sometimes we need that tie to not only do professional development for us, which they always do throughout the years, everything from digital citizenship to when we roll out the latest Windows version. One of the great things about that, though, is it puts a human face on the department. And those ties are there's 61 of them now. And we grew from 8 to 61. And it's kind of like having a bunch of disciples of the IT department out there taking part and being our evangelists and being our helpers. But I'll tell you what is even more important than just impacting the instruction is we take it even further now. We're looking at a program called Gen Yes, because we think, why not get the students involved in tech support? The more you localize your tech support and the more you bring in even the average user, meaning we got to reach out to that individual. We want the individual to know that we're not a roadblock. We're there to bring you along in the adventure, and we're part of the adventure. And we want to make sure that we deliver for our students and our teachers in the classroom. I think that, you know, we need to keep rethinking how we do support in the IT structure. Also, if you've got your IT department out in maintenance and operations, or you have it over on the fiscal side of the house, you're barking up the wrong tree. You need to move that IT department over to Ed Services.
I love how Phil mentioned, so that what we do is we do a really great job of empowering, you know, we've empowered our teacher techs, and in turn, now we want to empower our students. And in doing that, it gets us a lot of buy-in with our technology initiatives in the district. And we treat everybody like ambassadors. I mean, Phil and I are kind of ambassadors between the IT department and Ed Services, and our teacher techs are ambassadors between IT and their sites.
I think one of the things we've discovered is nothing kills an initiative faster than somebody having to stop, fill out a help ticket, and then wait a week or so before somebody gets back to them. Yeah. And so I think it's a balance, right, between you've got to have some centralized IT structures for support, which is like the helpline, and maybe some of those more traditional methods. But then I think we spend a lot of time about how do we decentralize IT support. And you know, to use Phil's words, you know, how do we localize that? Because a lot of times what I've discovered as I'm walking classrooms is people don't have big problems they're trying to solve. They have the little tiny problem they're trying to solve. Exactly. And sometimes it's literally a 20, 30-second thing where they can run next door or, you know, get in touch with their local support teacher and say, hey, how do I do this? And 30 seconds later, they're up and running and going. And I think it's about momentum. And the other thing for consideration on this is we're trying to move people out of their comfort zone. And so when people are already approaching something and they're a little out of their comfort zone, when they run into that little snag, oftentimes their perseverance is such that, okay, well, I'm just going to stop for today and I'll maybe come back to it, you know, next go around in the instructional cycle, wherever that is. And so what we're trying to do is limit, you know, that little snag, whereas if we're just right there with them, 30 seconds later, they can be off and running. And so it's a little bit different, maybe philosophy about how to support teachers in their classrooms, because it is still kind of, you know, as much as we try to build in collaborative structures, once they're in their rooms, they are really kind of, you know, by themselves. And so to have that support more localized, I think has been helpful for us.
Well, and also, Tom, it's important that, you know, and Mike's absolutely right on that. It also comes into teaching digital citizenship to your students. We're a Common Sense Media school district. But one of the things about teaching the digital citizenship is also we've got to work with our teachers and work with the IT department to say, here you've got this $1 million freeway of information. They've got to be able to use it. You've got to remove the roadblocks and let research take place, right?
Yeah.
And Common Sense is one of our partners as well here at Future Ready. You know, one of the things that I would give some advice on as well as a former tech director, it's to never lose sight of why we do what we do, going back to our core, back to our purpose. And we need to agree as tech directors and tech departments that our main job is to serve kids and to serve those around us and to remove roadblocks and to empower them with tools that are needed and possible in today's environment while also keeping them safe. And so biggest picture, it's how do we make sure as an IT department, we are customer service to serve our teachers, remove roadblocks, empower them with access, and of course, empower our students what it is that they need in a safe and efficient, effective way. You know, one of the terms you guys have thrown out a couple of times is LCAP, and it's unique to California, but it's something that you've been working on. We have a lot of California futurity districts. I think almost 400 superintendents in California have signed the pledge. So for our national audience, to give it some context, LCAP stands for Local Control and Accountability. So for the rest of the other 49 states watching, they've been like, what is this LCAP thing?
What does this mean?
So can you take a couple moments and just share what LCAP is? But for those in California, show that we're not necessarily talking about separate things or just something to layer up out on top. They really all go hand in hand.
Yeah, this
is so how does the budget, resources, gear, and the framework take part in that? And talk to us about LCAP in just a few moments.
Yeah, so Local Control and Accountability Plan is basically the old LEA plan that the federal requirements made districts across the country do. But it's more localized. It's more personable. It's more actionable. And it really takes the entire community to make it work. And so what it's done for us and many districts who are making it successful across the state is really focusing on, are you making those stakeholder engagement a priority? Are you talking to the community? And in our district, we found in the first year that we couldn't say that we had. And so over the last 4 or 5 years, we really have started to build that and have built that. And that's made the biggest difference in what we're doing here in Val Verde overall. The other thing was that it made departments talk to each other. Fiscal and education services and IT and facilities, we all have to talk to each other now because some part of the LCAP is driven by your department and the actions that your department takes. And so all the plans start to come together. If you don't have LCAP, that's okay in your state, but what I would take away is that melding those plans, looking at every plan that you're supposed to have and matching it up to one primary plan, whatever it is. For us in the state of California, it has now become the LCAP. And so when we were looking at a future ready plan, we said, well, how does this fit to LCAP and what LCAP has said we need to do and what we're going to do? And we found that in some ways it informed what the LCAP needed to do. In other ways, the LCAP helped us guide what was going to happen in the future ready plan. The distribution of resources is finite. Our business service CBO likes to say that we can do anything, we just can't do it all. And so we've really taken that to heart. We prioritize our initiatives and what we need to do to best serve our students. And then we look at all of our resources and put those together in a way that every kid gets what they need and the community and parents get what they need in order to help support and guide the path of the district.
Yeah, it's really about authentic engagement. I think gone are the days when, you know, we were working on those old local education agency plans, and we would say, you know, we had our one community engagement meeting for the year, and we'd invite people, and five people would show up, and we'd share the plan, and everybody would walk away feeling like, okay, we did something good here.
I wouldn't have survived in those days.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, so this, what I say, true community engagement, authentic community engagement is, and the way that, you know, I actually think the State Board of Education in California was pretty smart because we actually have to report on the ways that we had community engagement and report our survey numbers and our town hall meeting attendee numbers and record comments from community members, and that becomes a part of the living document. And so in a way, there's really be really difficult to fake it, I guess, these days.
Yeah. No, one of the best words that I keep coming back to every time we are working on anything like this is consultation.
Yeah.
It's really consulting with all the stakeholders, getting not sharing with them, but getting true information back from them and feedback.
And one of the things we like to say too is that, you know, when we look at parents and community members as true partners, It's not that we're just asking for their feedback. It's actually that we're seeking their expertise.
Correct.
And we come at this from a, you know, kind of a value-added philosophy that the community and the parents actually have something really valuable to contribute to our system.
Yeah, definitely.
And I love what Tom was saying earlier that, you know, if we think about school systems as community-serving, family-serving institutions, my God, it's about time we took it seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Transparency.
You know, so as you guys developed your Valverde framework and the Future Ready Plan, just like 13 other school districts around the country, you utilized our free Future Ready dashboard. You've referenced that a few times throughout the webinar. Can you quickly tell us a little bit about the experience about the dashboard and how it helped develop the plan for any districts that are listening that may just be looking at it today for the very first time? How is that a support? And of course, it was free. You own your own data. There's no sales pitch here. How is it a support in the work that you're doing for your vision moving?
Well, if Tom, you're going to make a roadmap, you got to know where you're going, period. You know, you got to know that this is our end to the means, right? So one of the things about the dashboard is, like we were discussing earlier, you definitely got to bring a whole team in. This can't be a one or two person group in an office in the DO trying to figure out how to write this thing. You got to involve all the stakeholders, and you got to involve all the different departments, and you've got to get input, and you've got to take surveys. One of the powers of the LCAP, Garrick was talking about, is the power of the parent survey. And then we also use another product that Greg mentioned. Greg, you want to talk about that, about Bright Bites a little bit?
Well, we've got this fantastic program we use called Bright Bites, where we, twice a year, we do a collection, and we send it out to all our stakeholders. We send it out to our teachers, our students, and our parents, and solicit information from them on how they view and how they perceive technology and the integration with that into their students' education.
And Tom, you know what's interesting? In our most recent survey, we had 1,300 parents take the survey. And Bright Bites come back and said, what are you guys doing? How are you doing that?
That was the most, I think this is the most ever.
Yeah, but I think, you know, kind of to Tom's point, the gears for us were like those touch points. You know, it's difficult to be an expert in each area. And I think the value of the gears and the Future Ready Plan was that, you know, for example, I'm thinking about it, about this planning process through my lens. But then we engage our business office, and they're looking at it through their lens. And so I think the power of the gears is it helps to bring some sort of focus to the entire planning team. And there's also, and these gears, I would say, are very well researched. When I read through them, I thought, wow, this is really good advice. And there's kind of some touch points, some questions for you to think about that are in those gears as you're moving through the process. So it's, to me, I found it to be extremely valuable and a great resource to kind of help guide our thinking, right? It's like you want to have, you know, I would describe it like this. It's like, okay, we all know we're committed to developing this Future Ready Plan for our students, mm-hmm. our teachers, sure. and our community that we serve, and we're on that highway. Guardrails are kind of, I would say, the gears in a way. They're kind of keeping us on the highway so we don't, you know, veer off the path. Because, and I say that because I think they're very well researched and great resources. So you kind of want to have some guidance, but have some, obviously you can choose your own lane, right? When you're on the highway. So, you know, maybe this lane is really good for Valverde. And maybe there's another lane over here that represents the best ideas of another school district. But I think, again, it's, you know, without kind of overemphasizing the point, I think it's they served as some really good guideposts mm-hmm. for us to see as we were navigating to the next section of the roadmap.
I think it kind of broke us a little bit from isolation, too. I know sometimes in our different departments, we seem like we're very focused on what we're doing, but the dashboard seemed to make us come together and be more collaborative.
Well, it can be, you know, we kind of talk about that echo chamber effect. Mm-hmm. You know, if you two are talking to each other, you know, your ideas sound really good to you, right?
Yeah, right.
But they may not necessarily resonate. So it's kind of like get out of the echo chamber and be willing to, you know, hear a diversity of thought.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
one of the cornerstones of Future Ready Schools is developing that comprehensive plan and hearing your feedback on the Future Ready dashboard, as well as your due diligence and bringing in other tools and other resources to make sure you had a really comprehensive plan. Shones you did it with intentionality, and that intention you're using for that vision is very reassuring for your district to know this isn't something you just did quickly on a whim. And, you know, this is something that was deep planning to truly set that vision. So we're going to start wrapping up because we're short on time. But hearing from you today has been truly encouraging and inspiring. And it's really evident that you've put incredible amounts of time and energy to be intentional, as I said, with your plan. You know, with hundreds of viewers on today's webinar, I'd assume that today's districts are all along a vast continuum of planning and implementation. So what advice do you have for other districts, regardless of where they are on a planning or an implementation continuum? What advice, what would you say?
I think one of the things I think about is motivate, not mandate. You know, you're going to get so much more through encouraging people to come together and keeping those conversations going. I think the worst thing you can do, especially as a superintendent, is kind of slam your fist down on the table and say, we're doing a future ready plan and I want it done by, you know, I think that would be a mistake.
It would be.
So I think that's one piece.
Bringing in the four C's at the district level.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Absolutely.
It really is. We've asked teachers now to get out of their silos. Getting the different departments in the district out of their silos has been a huge change.
So as adults, we should be practicing the four C's.
Yeah.
Collaboration, communication, critical thinking, and creativity, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
And Tom, it should be pointed out that this is set up to be flexible for any size of a school district. I noticed on your website, you have a whole section called the Rural District Guide. And I said, that's true. You could apply this to no matter if you just even had only 500 students. It's just a matter of figuring out where do you want to take those students.
Yeah. And in hearing your last set of comments there, you know, on the outside of the Future Ready framework is collaborative leadership. And hearing you all speak today, it's so evident that it's core to the vision and to the mission of what you all do. And I truly say kudos to that. So I do want to remind our viewers that information about Future Ready Schools can be found at futureready.org. We continue to challenge school district superintendents like Mike to be like Mike, right? To join the over 3,200 others that have signed the Future Ready Pledge. We encourage our school and district leaders to join us at one of this year's Future Ready Institute, which, get ready for it, we just officially launched today. So for more on attending one of our Future Ready Institutes, check out at futureready.org/institute. I also want to encourage our viewers to get involved with one of our growing strands. They're all highlighted at the Institutes as well, from district leader to IT, to principals, librarians, and instructional coaches. We've vastly expanded the reach of Future Ready Schools over the past year. Check out the private Facebook groups and ongoing activities to stay connected to alongside those like you throughout the nation as well. As you heard with the six of Valverde in this webinar, the Future Ready Dashboard is a dynamic planning to support your school or district's transformation forward. We encourage you to check out and utilize this free, let's say it again, this free tool, which has been used by over 1,300 school district teams to date. Be sure to check that out today. I do want to check out and thank the Valverde team, as well as thank all of you, our viewers, for joining us for this Future Ready webinar. Don't forget to connect with Future Ready on Twitter at Future Ready. And on Facebook at facebook.com/readyschools as well. If you missed any of today's conversation, it'll be archived at allfour.org/webinars soon after this webinar. On that page, you'll also see a list of upcoming webinars. You can also find the aligned hangouts on our YouTube channel there. For those taking part in our Academy badging, the password for the webinar today is readers. Thank you again for joining us here at Future Ready Schools. Have a fabulous day. We will see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care.